You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
So what did you do last week?
Well, we went to, my son's at Pleasant Hill Elementary School, and I'm telling you, it's the most incredible school I've ever seen. They do the, you know, we've talked about the cow. He's got a cow. They got a garden in the backyard.
Well, pretty nice stuff.
They took these kids on a field trip to New York, and we went, and we saw two Broadway plays.
Now, there aren't too many fields in Manhattan, but...
There were no cows there. How it happened was this, so my son's teacher's a guy by the name of Todd Willis, and... he and this other teacher, Christy Wilbanks, well, he got invited to go out to the White House, met Michelle Obama, and met this guy, Bill Yost, who was the Obama's executive chef. Well, believe it or not, when Trump got in office, he quit. So he went to New York and started up this thing. So all the kids got to go and meet the president's pastry chef, who has now opened a restaurant because Trump's in office up in New York. So these kids got to meet this guy, hear his stories, meet other kids. It was just an incredible experience.
So which plays did they see?
We saw The School of Rock, and we saw Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Fantastic. So how many kids went up there?
32 total.
Wow. Unbelievable. So who paid for this? Parents pay for this?
They did, but remember, they've got this awesome little farm club program down there.
Right.
So it kind of helps subsidize. I think it helps subsidize some of the cost.
That is just great.
Never heard of it. It's a public school.
Well, in this day of how bad this whole system seems to be going in many places, that is a gold star. But that's
some of these
very
kids,
encouraging.
Some of these kids had never been out of Mississippi.
And well, sure.
It gives them
to
the
go
opportunity.
Into Manhattan? Oh, yeah. My God.
To see things that they'll never see for the rest of their life.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
That's very, very smart. And those teachers in that school are to be commended for doing some really important work. Those kids, that will change their lives.
No doubt. Well, I mean, the principal over there, she's an incredible lady, Jamie Loper, and she has really just allowed her teachers to really nurture these kids and give them experiences that they just wouldn't get elsewhere.
Miss Loper ought to be commended, and she ought to be, someone trying to, you know, spread the word. You compare that to what's going on to some of the schools in this city. It gives you hope that it could be changed, but hats off to her and to everybody over there.
It's just nice for a feel-good story every once in a while.
Yeah, that's great. So they're little rides on the subway and that kind of deal?
Yeah, so we rode the subway. We went to Times Square. We went to the top of Freedom Tower. We went to the Statue of Liberty.
That's so great.
I mean, I looked on my watch every day, the steps. We were walking an average of like 9 and 10 miles a day.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That's wonderful. Happy that was good for you, and welcome back. And
you've got some new listeners. Some of them are listening this morning.
Well, this is probably their first and last time to do that, but we thank them for tuning in, and nice job, all you teachers out there at
Pleasant Hill Elementary.
Nice going. Good job. Way to go. Good people. James has been hanging on. Let's see what James has going on. What's up, bro? Get right to it.
Yes. My ex-wife died recently.
Sorry.
And so I'm the executor of the estate. She has money tied up in they froze her account, but they did release enough money for her cremation, but everything else they froze.
Okay. Now, so this is your wife, and how recently?
Ex-wife.
Oh, okay. How recently did she pass away?
4th of September.
Okay. And do y'all have children together?
Yes.
Okay.
And that being said, they both got a SSI check. My daughter did.
Right.
And my ex-wife got a disability check.
Okay. Now they're supposed to be, in her parenting plan, she was supposed to have an insurance policy making you the beneficiary. And if she didn't, you may have a claim against that estate.
Okay.
Is that what your question was about? The funds that have
been
frozen?
No, I wasn't familiar with that. I was just familiar that my daughter's SSI check has been going to that account, as well as my ex-wife's disability check. But like I said, she only had like $1,600 remaining in the account. $1,200 of it went towards cremation, and that left like $400, which, you know, legally should be. My daughter says it's a side check where she got it paid on the 3rd, and Mike's wife died on the 4th, and they froze her account.
Well, you're going to have to work with SSI to get it transferred over to you. But the other thing you need to do is look at your paperwork from when you guys divorced. Okay.
Right.
Somewhere around the next to last page, there's a paragraph that says each party will insure their life in the amount of X, and generally it's somewhere between 25,000, and it can go up from there.
Okay.
We do that just for this situation, because now you're in a situation where you're the only parent and you're not going to have any support from your ex. So there's supposed to be a life insurance policy. And if it's not in place, then you may have a claim on any assets that she had for whatever that amount would be to help you cover these kids. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir. She has no assets other than like a $400 remaining in her account.
I got you. But you certainly can, you'll be able to apply to get those SSI benefits over to you now.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. We've been working on that end of it. I was just wondering about this, like I said, the executive of the state, and as far as debts or anything that's owed, like she had medical expenses and all that stuff. Who has seniority or whoever gets debts on the
You're the executor?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
You've done the publication in the newspaper asking for all debtors, is that right?
No, I have not done that yet.
Okay. Are you working with an attorney to help close out this estate?
I talked to the bank, and they said I could pay an attorney for $3,000, but I haven't chosen to do that yet.
Okay.
Because she only has $400 remaining, I can't see why I've got to pay for my ex-wife's attorney to carry her.
You don't have to, but I would tell you it might be worth your time to at least go sit down with an attorney and have them kind of guide you how to go through this process, how to streamline getting
the benefits. Is $3,000 a bit excessive for this? He doesn't have the money.
Yeah, it is. I don't think $3,000 is what it's going to cost you. I think you should be able to do a small estate and close it out pretty quick.
Okay, I understood there's like an estate affidavit or something that you could do.
There is. And what I'm telling you, though, is it's fairly involved, but an hour consult with an attorney, they should be able to help print out some forms and walk you through this.
And not charge you all that money.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
All right, James. Thank you, sir. And good luck to you, man.
If you go to the probate court's website, there's some forms there that you can download. The problem is that the probate court, they're not supposed to give legal advice. They're just clerks there that are there to help you.
Right.
But there is some forms and some paperwork on their website that you can download that'll help you with this process.
Hopefully he just heard that. Probate court, it's on the website.
Just type in Shelby County Probate Court, and it'll be a link that comes up, and then you'll click on the forms.
Those websites, I bet, are really easy to get to. Good luck to you, sir. That's unfortunate. All righty. Donna's been hanging on for Lawyer Bill. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm calling on behalf of my cousin who was working at a factory, and he liked his job, went to work, you know, good worker, whatnot. And apparently some maintenance was being done on the machinery, and the person doing the maintenance left big globs of grease on the floor. And my cousin was walking along to his next point of whatever he was doing and didn't see the grease, and he didn't even remember falling because it knocked him out, but he hit his head on the way down, suffered a major concussion, and has been, they've been doing through workman's comp, sending him to a neurologist down here in Memphis.
Okay.
He's in West Tennessee, and he's still suffering. Like 3 months later, he's still suffering with really bad headaches, having trouble with dizziness and that sort of thing. And he's on, I guess it's short-term disability, I'm thinking. I don't know all the details, but he's very worried that after 6 months they're going to drop him. He has not consulted a lawyer or anything like that. He's just trying to get well and get back to work. So I thought, well, I'll just ask you, what are the legal, what are they legally bound to do because of this workplace accident?
Well, so what I'm going to tell you right out of the gate, and you probably know, he needs to contact a lawyer. He needs to sit down with one. Because,
well, he's in a small town.
I gotcha.
You know,
but that you better find a lawyer.
I gotcha. But look, here's the thing: is companies, they're not heartless beasts, but they're not your mom who's there to, you know,
right,
wipe your chin and take care of you. They're in business to make money. Okay,
right.
So they're doing what they have to do legally. Your job, or your cousin's job, is to protect his interest, just like the company protects its interest. And the only way for him to do that is to arm and equip himself with an attorney that knows the rules, that knows how workers' comp works. It's an entirely different field, and there's so much that goes into it. I'm not versed in it. I mean, there's so many different areas of the law.
A lawyer, he has no money.
He can. Workers' comp attorneys generally work on a contingency fee basis.
Yes, they do.
Where they take a portion of the settlement. So, here's how that works. When he goes in and speaks with an attorney, if they think he has a good case, they will take it because they know that they will get paid
on the back end.
If they tell him, no, we do not want your case, then what they're saying is the company's doing right. You don't have much of a case, and there's no financial
gain
for you or for us. They're not going to waste their time or his time. The only time that'll be wasted is going in and sitting down with a lawyer if he says, I can't help you. Okay?
Yeah.
But if you don't do that, You just won't know.
Okay.
So he needs to make the time, small town or not. If it's a big enough claim, an attorney from Memphis will drive anywhere. An attorney from Jackson will drive anywhere. Okay?
Okay.
So.
Okay. So, well, I guess his other thinking is if he gets a lawyer, he won't get his job back.
When, no.
You know,
no,
he's able to go back to work.
It doesn't work like that.
No.
It doesn't work like that.
Okay.
If you've got a company that... And on the other thing is, if you work at a company where just because you hire a lawyer, they would dismiss you, that's a company you don't want to work at anyway. He needs to go and see a lawyer, okay?
Yeah, this could be a, yes, and if this is, you know, as severe and as ongoing as you say it is.
Some lawyer's going to snatch it up.
How does she find somebody?
All right, so we talk about this all the time. There's a couple of good... resources online. You can go to Google reviews and see what people have said. You can go to this website called avvo.com.
Where do you live?
Me? I live here in Memphis.
Where does he live?
He lives in Ripley, Tennessee.
Okay. Well, there isn't that far away, and there's got to be some way to get him somebody to, you know.
Okay.
But in selecting a lawyer, you can go in online, see what people have written or said about their representation in the past. But ask friends, ask family members, ask people that you know.
There you go.
Okay.
But you want a workman's comp lawyer.
That's right.
Not
That's correct.
Anybody.
Yes, ma'am.
That's correct. I always look there. I just do family law. There are other lawyers that just do criminal work. There are other lawyers that just do workers' comp. And then there are attorneys that do a little bit of everything. I'm always going to say that you go to somebody that just practices in that area if you can.
There you go.
Okay.
All right,
okay?
Donna, thank you so much and good
thank
luck to you.
Yes,
ma'am. One more before the break. This person's been hanging on patiently. Let's get to James and see what's up. James, what do you have for us? Go.
Yes, sir. I have a situation. I was divorced 10 years ago, and in the divorce, we divided everything, and our house was paid for. And in the agreement to the divorce, I was asked to sign the house over to her soon-to-be husband, fiancé, and I would be dropped for my child support because my youngest son was still in school. Okay?
Wait a second. Hang on. Wait. You're telling me that there was a court order that said you were to sign over a house to a man that was having an affair with your wife in order to drop your child support.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to see that order to believe that. I mean, I've never heard of a court say that would be like me saying I'm going to sign over the house to whoever my wife's sleeping with right now so I don't have to pay child support. That's I would have a hard time. I'd have to see the order. But anyway, what's your question?
I just want to know, see, she done lost the house and everything. They done went and got a mortgage on it, lost it, and all that.
What is the question, sir?
The question is, when I go down there to the Department of Human Services in Mississippi, DeSoto County, and I tell them and show them this document, they say that my ex-wife has got to come in and drop the case. They will not stand behind that paperwork.
Okay.
And she came in last year and said, no, I don't remember signing that paper. I want my money.
Okay, so this is a document that you guys did, not signed by the judge. This was a deal that you guys had after the divorce where you agreed to sign over the house in lieu of child support, but no judge ever signed off on it.
I don't see no judge's signature on it anywhere. It was notarized and documented with our divorce in City Hall in DeSoto County.
Okay. And do you have a lawyer that you're working with on this?
No, sir.
Okay. You're going to need one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's how much child support are you talking about?
$12,000. Right. And the house was appraised for $114,000.
So it is,
and it was paid for.
So it is definitely worth speaking with a lawyer to see if they can get you credit for this. Okay?
Well, I mean, I tried doing that, and then they all want money, and I don't have money. Well, you know? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, what's crazy is if some lawyer's telling you, look, we're going to charge you a fee. If you don't pay that and get stuck with $12,000, I mean, it's you're going to have to pay an attorney somewhere to represent you in order to save $12,000.
Oh, yes, sir.
I mean, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I completely understand. I'm just tired of fooling with her. I mean, it's just one headache after another. She don't even remember signing the forms.
Well, that's divorce,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I know it's divorce. It's easy to get married. It don't take a little bit of money to get married, but boy, it takes a lot of money to get out of it.
Marriage is grand. Divorce is $50,000.
That's right.
All right, bro. Well, there's the best we got for you. I'm sorry that you're in this mess, but you're going to have to.
That's okay.
You find the money somehow. All right, man. Thanks, James. Okay.
Backroom agreements generally don't work.
The early morning Irish coffee is also good to get you going and speaking in tongues. We'll do a break and we'll come back and we'll regroup and we'll have some more fun phone calls. 535-9898. I'm sure Sid has some entertaining emails. We'll get to those too and help you out if we can.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Bill is here with Jones Law Firm. He's a lawyer, man. He answers questions. And he's answering some doozies today. And here comes some more. Let's get back to it. Tyler has been hanging on. Tyler, go right ahead, sir. What do you have?
Hey. My question is that I took a car loan out. Well, I own the car, and I did a title loan. And I've been paying on it for, I don't know, 12, 13 consecutive months. Well, lost a job for 2 months, was behind on 2 months of payments, and the establishment would start calling me 13, 14 times a day. So I finally contacted them back, spoke to the manager, said, hey, look, I've talked to your office multiple times. They aren't documenting the phone calls that they're making to me. So I sent her screenshots of all the phone calls, and she said they shouldn't be doing that and that we could communicate by email. Well, I've been communicating with this lady by email, working out a deferment, which she agreed to, and the deferment didn't go through because of her end, and she wasn't providing the proper information for me to make that payment. Well, she said she would follow up with me the following week with a new deferment charge and then let me know what I could take care of so I could finally get it done. She never followed up with me. I emailed her again, letting her know I was waiting to hear back from her. And that following day, I get a letter in the mail saying you know, that they were going to turn my account over to an attorney or repossess the vehicle. So I talked to her yesterday by phone, which she was only supposed to contact me through email, and she basically told me that all the emails I've sent to her were not what they were, showing timestamps and the phone calls and everything like that. And I told her the reason why I don't call is because her people don't document that I'm calling and I'm trying to watch my own self. And she finally set the deferment and gave me the same charges and whatnot. I asked her to speak to a district manager to show her, hey, the way that you're handling this is preventing me from trying to take care of my deferment because I finally started work again. And the phone call started again.
But what's and your, what's
I just
your,
don't know what kind of recourse.
You're wanting to know what kind of recourse you've got for them continuing to contact you after you've asked them not to contact you?
Well, that plus the documentations on their end, like say I give them a call and I explain to them, hey, this is what's going on.
This sounds like a situation where you got to have an attorney do this for you.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
You're trying to contact them. You're asking what kind of recourse you've got for them not keeping good paperwork?
Right. They're not keeping records of me calling. They're not keeping records of us making agreements on this deferment. I did go ahead and pay the deferment yesterday, and I'd waited on her for like a week to get back to me, which she never did. But those emails and those phone calls, they're not putting them in their system, showing that we've made these agreements. And now I'm getting a letter in the mail saying, you're not doing anything on your end, so we're going to probably take possession of your vehicle.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, for whatever reason, you've defaulted. And they're kind of doing you a favor in working with you and deferring, right?
Right. Okay. That's correct. So, and I'm trying to bring the account current.
So I don't know that you've got recourse unless you've executed an agreement in the same way that the original agreement was executed. So in other words, just an email back and forth, I don't know that that's enough.
No, the agreement wasn't in the email.
I understand.
Never followed up on it, and I tried to make that payment. I understand.
Okay. I'm talking about when you originally bought the vehicle, it was executed in a certain way, signed, notarized, recorded. I think any amendment or alteration would need to be done in the same way. In fact, your original contract probably says any amendments or alterations have to be done in the same way. What they're doing is they're just trying to work with you. I don't know that you've got a cause of action against them. Now, I could be wrong. I would have to look at your original contract and all your correspondence with them and see what they've done.
Right. Well, I'll
but
do that
short
myself.
Of that,
that's a good idea. I'll read the contract and then see what it says and then go back and
the devil is in the details. The devil is always in the details.
Maybe
of the
show up at the office and just make her face to face, find her.
Yeah. I did that. I tried to do that. That's one of the reasons why some of this has happened. I told her I would come in the office and pay her cash because I just started a new job. Direct deposit didn't happen yet, and I got a paper check. And I told her I would come in on that Saturday. Well, she never gave me the hours of operation Saturday, and I guess they changed. So I talked to her that Saturday morning and told her, hey, I'm going to come do that payment that we agreed on today, and she said, well, we close at noon, and this was at 11 o'clock.
Okay, well, look,
she didn't tell me
again,
until 11.
You're going to have to figure this out and get it with her on these details. This is a mess, but yeah, I just do what Bill says and just stay on her and wear her out till she gives you an answer. That's all you can do.
I definitely will do that.
All right, Tyler, thank you, man. Good luck to you. Email at drinkinthemorning.com.
What's your opinion of agencies such as Legal Shield, asks Joe. Is it worth the $20 a month as legal insurance?
So Legal Shield is, it's just what it says, legal insurance. There are a couple other plans. There's like the Hyatt Legal Plan, where if you work for certain companies, they'll withdraw X amount. It's like $13 or $14 per paycheck. always look at the type of coverage that those plans provide. Generally, they'll cover things like a bankruptcy or a house refinancing or a traffic ticket or something like that. Go back in your mind and think about, when's the last time you had to hire a lawyer? When's the last time you had to have legal help, and how much did it cost you? Most people interact with an attorney, you know, not yearly. It's generally when you're buying a house or when you're divorcing, or it's not something that you use frequently. And if that insurance is going to cost you, say, you know, $50 a month, and at the end of the year, how much have you spent? Well, you figure that out, and then you figure out how much the service would cost. If you're going to use an attorney a lot to draft a will, to do a house closing, to handle a speeding ticket, then it's worth it. But if you're not going to use it, then you're better off just paying an attorney once or twice for when you need them. But on all those, look at the coverage. I used to be a member of one of those organizations, and people would come in thinking that they had coverage for something, and the insurance that they had just didn't cover it. It's just like medical insurance, where if somebody wanted me to write an ugly letter to their neighbor, that was covered. If somebody wanted to have a, you know, a knockdown, drag out custody battle, it was not covered. Mm. If somebody wanted a will write, that was covered. But if somebody wanted a slip and fall case, it wasn't.
Buying something online is not like buying, you know, it's just,
yeah,
not a real service.
Check the coverage and see what the coverage is, and also see what attorneys are in their market.
There you go. To the phones, Greg for Lawyer Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir. Spouse of mine worked for a medical billing. She did medical billing for a pediatric office here in town, and we found out through the IRS she hadn't been paying her federal income taxes on her employees or Social Security taxes for her employees for the last 3 years that I know of. Other than quitting her job, contacting the IRS and Social Security Department, proving her income through payroll stubs, what other steps do I or her need to make?
You know, I think there's some, there may be some whistleblower laws with the IRS.
Yeah, that has been brought to my attention, fraud. And other than that, I'm basically just trying to protect my wife and myself. Like I said, we wouldn't have known anything about this until I received a letter in the IRS about some back taxes that didn't match up, did some investigation, and found out that that's what it was.
Well, have you gone to the employer and asked them to make it right?
Yes, we have.
And are they working with you?
Lies, blamed everybody else for it. Finally owned up to it. I told her just to walk out. You don't want to be involved in anything like this. Have contacted the other nurse practitioners and all that work at the office, and they are just, they're trying to cover themselves now. But, yes, I was just wondering what other steps, if any, needs to be made on our end.
Well, generally the employer is gonna want to cure that. I can tell you that not paying taxes on an employee, I think that's a treble damage, where the IRS, once they discover it, they'll charge you three times the amount of the taxes you should have been withholding. So generally the employer is gonna want to try and cure that for whatever they can, instead of paying three times the damage. But to protect yourself, you probably need to get yourself a tax lawyer.
Okay.
You know, tax lawyers are they're a weird group. They're generally CPAs. They like numbers. All stuff that I don't do. I avoided the
Any
building
names?
Where tax law was taught. Yeah, I've got some. But call the office and I'll give you a couple of names. My office number is 761-5353. Because I stink at tax law, I've got some very smart friends that are pretty good at it.
There you go, Greg. Good idea.
Thank you very much, sir. Y'all have a good day.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you. A few more here before we have to go. Let's see. Mila, go ahead, please. What do you have quickly?
Hi, Laura Bill. My friend is in South Carolina, and she is having some trouble with custody battle, and she had mentioned something about me being able to help with an affidavit. Me being in Mississippi, how can I help with that? How can I go about doing that for her?
I don't know that South Carolina, I'm not licensed to practice in South Carolina, but if in Mississippi I'm licensed, and I can tell you that to do an affidavit there, you would just need to type it out, whatever it is you're going to say, and sign it in the presence of a notary, saying that you swear or affirm that the statements you're making are true and accurate to the best of your knowledge. But what I would do, what I would tell you to do, is contact your friend and have their attorney draft out whatever statement is they're wanting you to make, and then send it to you. And then you look at the statement, review it. If anything's incorrect or wrong, or you're not comfortable saying that, call their attorney back and say, I can sign this if you'll add this or change this or whatever. Make sure it's correct. Okay. Then you can sign it and send it back. But you just trying to take a stab in the dark, writing an affidavit, not knowing what they're looking for, you're going to be spinning your wheels. I would ask their office to draft whatever it is that they're looking for, and then you look at it. If it's a statement you agree with, then you can sign it.
I know what it's about. There was a false, she had custody of her child, and she had a child with her, and because her ex wanted their child, he was desperate enough to go and file a false accusation.
All right, let me cut you off. I understand that you know what the situation is about. What I am saying is you do not want to spend your time and your effort and your energy drafting, trying to learn how to do an affidavit correctly, only to find out that it doesn't give her what she wants or needs or is no help to her. Her attorney should be able to draft that for you pretty quick.
Okay, if I was to get that documentation, could I call your office or come see you to double check and make sure everything's going?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
There you go.
All right, cool. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, and good luck to you and your friend. One more quickly before we go. We have Billy hanging on. Thank you, sir. What do you have for Bill? Go ahead.
My mother and stepdad are in their 70s. They've been married over 30 years. They do not have a living will between them. Her car's in her name, and the truck's in his name. And I was just wondering if one of them would pass, who would receive the other, you know, the house and the car and all that. Who would that go to?
If they were to pass away, who would it go to?
Yeah, as far as, you know, if my mother would pass before him or he would pass before her, who would that fall to as far as?
Well, do they have a will?
No, sir, they don't.
And how many kids?
They got, it's me and my sister on my mother's side, and he's got two kids on his side, and we're all in the 40s and 50s.
Okay. I would say that they probably need to get a will, especially when you're older like that and you've got stepkids, because what could potentially happen is if your mother died, a share should go. He gets a spouse's share, y'all get kids' shares, but that may not be what they want to do. In order to treat all the kids equally or unequally, however they want to do it, they're going to need wills. So it's not an expensive process. You know, we always run a special where it's $300 per person to do a will package, and that's a will, a living will, a power of attorney, and a power of attorney for medical decisions. It's cheaper than what you'll pay online somewhere to, you know, go like a legal Zoom. I would tell you that you need to bring them in either to me or somebody else, or go online and get them to fill out wills. It's at their age, it needs to be done. Because if not, when they pass away, you've just got a disaster waiting to happen where you're not going to talk to your step-siblings anymore. You're going to never talk to your, you know, your stepfather or stepmother anymore. It could get ugly. They need to put it in writing in order to help. Otherwise, if you want to Google it and see how it would go, it's they're going to die intestate without a will. Okay.
Yeah.
And look at the laws of intestate succession, and it'll show you how it would go. You're entitled to a child share, and he's entitled to a spouse's share. Okay.
Okay. She kind of actually talked to him about it, and he kind of got mad about some stuff they was wanting to do, so they kind of kicked it off. I almost had him talk into doing it, but they both got to come in together. She can't come in and do one and without him, can't she?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can each come in separately and do their own thing.
Okay. Okay.
All right, man. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
Billy. Thank you. We are out of time. We have more calls. We'll do it again next week. So y'all, please call back. We'll save the emails and get some more in there. But time goes by fast here when you're dealing with legal complications. Holy, that's
why we bill by the hour.
Of course it is. Man, boy, the people that we... Well, good luck to all of you. It's always something, man. And I bet there's are hundreds more like it. So we'll do it again next Thursday. Please join us then. Thank you. And again, the best to the teachers and the principal who were doing good work at your young son's school. That really is encouraging in this education. Just the mess that we're in. That really is a nice thing to hear. So.
And it's public. It's not private. It's awesome.
So how's the cow doing?
Midnight Diamond. He's doing good. We've taken to calling him Brisket around the house.
Yeah. Stop. I think that by Christmas. I can smell that meat cooking.
He's
now.
Doing good. He's down to, he just gets one bottle a day, and we're feeding him grain at night.
So is your son William getting attached to this critter emotionally?
Y'all, it's like a dog.
I'm telling you,
when we pull up at night to bottle feed this thing, the cow runs down the fence and chases us like Lassie. Oh. And William will hug this animal, and it is about to get, it's at the point where it's about to get huge.
It's going to get ugly when you have to, well.
No.
When he's on that spit and it smells
midnight
so good.
Midnight Diamond is going.
As he cooks and smokes overnight.
Midnight Diamond is going to live with all the other cows in the imaginary playland.
At the farm, yeah.
Yeah, where they get treated awesomely every day.
Okay.
Well, good luck to Midnight Diamond and his future on your Christmas plates.
It would be cool if I could get a pair of boots made out of Midnight Diamond. No, that would be cool.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.